This is Barbara Lee, and the session today is entitled The Ministry of Touch. I thought that I would share with you today a number of experiences and then let us talk a little bit about them when I'm finished. I want to start off by telling you about my grandfather. The last time I saw my grandfather was 1968. I had gone to visit them in the hospital in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. And he was in for nothing very important. But on my way out the door, I turned around and I said to him, "Grandpa, I love you." And he sat straight up in bed. And he said, "Barbara, come here," in his Norwegian brogue that you could barely understand. He said, "Barbara, come here." He said, "If you love someone, if you care about someone, if you like something someone does, tell them." He said, "Reach out to them, hug them, in some way show them. You may never have another chance." And somehow Grandpa gave us little sermons all the time, and I never listened. But that one I heard, and it's probably the greatest legacy he could have given me, and it was the last time I ever saw him. That's one example. That's where I began my journey into touch and to reaching out to people around me. A number of years ago when I began seminary, I was a member of a church where there was an elderly pastor, a visitation pastor, who invited me to go his rounds with him one day. And we went to visit a lady by the name of Effie. Effie was 90-some years old, a tall woman, and very stately. And he said, "Now you just follow behind me." I said, "Okay, I will." We got to the house, and he rang the bell and opened the door, and he stood like this. And Effie came out the door and just right into his arms, and they had this incredible hug. She said, "Oh, that feels so good." And then she opened her eyes and looked over his shoulder and said, "You know, this is the only man that's hugged me in the last 25 years. Oh. And how she appreciated that hug, that touch. She lived alone. She said, "Nobody else comes to touch me. Nobody else comes to hug me, to show me they care." And she just expressed how meaningful that was for her. 3 years ago, I worked as a chaplain in a hospital. As I went my rounds, seeing patients up and down the halls, inevitably I would hold hands or reach out and touch somebody. I'm just sitting too far from you here, but I might just reach out and hang on to somebody's hand as we were talking. I probably held hands with 50 people a day, with sick patients, with healthy relatives, with kids, with old folks, men, women, and children, people my own age, it made no difference. And not one pulled away. The ministry of touch, the ministry of caring and sharing God's love one with another. I think of Edna. Edna was the organist at the church where I grew up. I have known her probably 35 years. She always took me to high school choir. I loved her. Her husband was the most reckless driver I've ever been with. I just have all kinds of memories about these people. But Edna is now at about age 58 or so in a nursing home with Alzheimer's disease. I go to visit her, and every time we've had a visit, I said, "How about a hug?" And we hug. And the last time I was there, she hugged, she held me tight, she pushed me away, and she said, "You know, I don't know you, But that's the only hug I've had in 3 years, and I really liked it. That's not the truth. She's had more hugs than that because I know her son has been there to visit her. She didn't know me, but what reached her was the sense of touch. That's called ministry. That's called sharing God's love one with another. I think of Sunday mornings. There was a sermon not long ago, and at the end of it, I asked people to reach out and to hold hands. And I said, if you're not sitting close enough to reach someone, get up and move so that you can touch each other. Well, in most staid Lutheran churches, you know, that's not exactly the thing to do. But some people got up and moved over, and everybody held hands. And so I said, you know, let us pray. I closed the sermon with prayer. And when I finished, I looked up and down into the congregation, and all these people were smiling, and they were still holding hands. And they were looking at each other and smiling silently, looking at me and smiling. And so we continued with the hymn of the day. Well, I don't know how people turned pages because they were still holding hands. And they held hands, most of them, through the entire hymn of the day. I don't think everybody knew it. I don't know how it was possible. But the point was, people didn't want to let go. They had not been previously given permission to reach out, to touch, and to feel the love of another human being. During the last couple years, I guess, I've been doing visitation for St. Paul Reformation Church, which you people have probably heard more than your share about this week. But in doing that visiting, I've visited in the homes of many senior citizens. Seniors who say, you know, our families are away, our friends are gone, there's no one that we can touch or who touches us. So we always have a hug. And for the first couple times, most people just kind of stand there limp and I do the hugging and that's it. But it's a funny thing. On Sundays when they come to church and I'm standing there, you know, in my alban, you know how pastors stand and shake hands with everybody. My goodness, I've never seen so many hugs in my life. People come up and they just hug. Some folks won't leave the church on Sunday until they've had their morning hug. And they tease me about it. They say, well, have you got the hug line going today? And they might be teasing. They say they don't want to touch, that's, you know, kid stuff. And yet they're the first in line and they will not leave. Some of them will follow me all the way back to the office to get their hug before they leave. The ministry of touch, reaching out to other people, sharing God's love one with another. We touched on this last Tuesday when we talked here about the Senior Telecare Project. And I can't tell you how many hugs I've had since then. This morning, I got up to the patio area here. I don't know who was around and who might have seen this. But somebody said, Barbara, have you had your hug today? And I said, no. And so the lady gave me a hug. And the lady next to her gave me a hug. And she said, Dad, she says, you give her a hug too. So I got the hug from the husband, the lady's husband. And then there was another man, he says, "How? You better give her a hug too." And then there was another lady. I had 5 hugs this morning before breakfast. You know, when people are given permission to reach out, to touch, to hug, maybe it's just a, you know, touching a hand, or maybe it's a pat on the shoulder, or maybe it's a, if you know somebody well enough, a pat on the knee, or whatever. But it's meaningful. It means something. And people thrive on it. today in the mail, and this is, it couldn't have been more timely. There was someone here last week, or this past week, by the name of Donna Eitland from Moorhead, Minnesota. Today I received this in the mail. I opened it up. A hug would make my day. She was at our session on Tuesday. And she starts out her letter, "Dear Barbara, something for your office door. This is the goodbye hug I missed today. I couldn't find you to say goodbye." Isn't that neat? The ministry of touch. How much it means, even in passing, to this particular woman who was here this past week. And to think she would do this just thrills me. And as I say, her timing couldn't have been better. To reach out, to let another person know that we care. Sometimes that's the only way we can effectively communicate with people. It wasn't long ago that I was invited, or actually just going to a nursing home to see some of our people. And I was asked to see a lady whom I had never met before. She was on the second floor of the healthcare residence. And when I got there, I realized that she was, I guess what some people call a vegetable, she was unresponsive. I talked to her, there was no response. I wheeled her chair over in front of a sunny window, and there was no response. But when I took her cool hand in my two warm hands, like that, she looked up and she smiled. With my voice, I couldn't touch her. But with the sense of touch, she knew someone cared. Reaching out to each other as God reached out to touch us. Maybe a pat on the back, on the arm, an arm around a shoulder, or perhaps even a hug. Some of us may be givers. It's easy for me to go up and give somebody a hug. I went up to you last night and gave you a hug. It's easy for me to do that. I wanted to. I felt like it. Some people may be receivers. It may be hard for them to give. And those of us who are givers need to understand that we're not all alike. Some people just simply don't like touch. They may have been people who've been touched by inappropriate touch. They may have been raped. They may have been a victim of incest. Who knows what it might be. But some people just can't tolerate touch. And that's something, too, we have to respect. But being able to make a point of reaching out, of caring, of showing, in just that tiny little way, makes such a difference. One person who is a resident here in the camp, in the village today. It feels like camp sometimes, doesn't it? Said to me, she said, "You know, you came up to me up by the board where all the things are listed." And she said, "You just casually put your arm around me." And she said, "For the first time in ages, I really felt cared for." I didn't know that. I was just doing it because it just happened. But I think the point is reaching out with the ministry of touch really is something that is meaningful to many, many people. I don't know. I think we need all the loving and all the loving we can get. I'm a single person. I don't get all the hugs I'd like. Married people tell me that even though they're married, it doesn't mean they have the edge on it either. Is that right?
Yeah,
I see all these nods. But whether we're housewives or waitry up here or business people or attorneys or farmers or no matter what we are, whether we're men, women, children, whether we're old, young, or middle-aged, people of color, disabled folks, we all need the sense of being loved. And as we give love, somehow it multiplies. And this happens in this, just by reaching out to people, by touching, with healthy touch, with caring touch. And my day started magnificently today. It was just amazing. And then to get this, just really, really put it all together for me. And I did want to share that with you. I'm wondering if we can talk together about ways that right here in the village or at home, that we can reach out to each other, or experiences you've had that have been meaningful, so that we can help others to use the ministry of love, which is really the ministry of touch, in one way, to share one with another. Yes?
I was brought up in a family that never showed any affection, so I didn't know how to do it until the last 4 or 5 years when I joined the church that I joined, and they're a very bunch of lovable people. And we had a woman talking to us about this, and she said, "Have you had your fuzzies today?" And nobody knew what she meant. And we all got up, and my goodness, we were hugging everybody, the minister and everybody else, for about 5-10 minutes. But now I can go up and do this, but I could never do it before.
And it feels good, doesn't it?
It does. But we have one girl in our circle that'll say, "You two girls can do all the hugging you want, but don't anybody of you hug me. I don't like it."
And that's fine. Yeah. We have to respect that. We're not all alike. Mm-hmm.
I go to Streams in the Desert Lutheran Church in Tucson, and when we have the Lord's Prayer, it's about reaching out and those who wish to join hands. Every time, I miss that when I go to other churches. Mm-hmm. And this is a congregation, my wife is a quadriplegic, and after service, so many people would come up to her, give her a little hug, and it meant so much to her.
Yes.
And the pastor, she'd always get a hug and a kiss from the pastor.
Sure.
She just looked forward to that.
It's important, isn't it?
Yeah. And so when we take people and lose their mate, not only do they have that loss, then people shun. They're starting to be a fifth wheel, an extra blanket. And so they quit touching. But I said, they might be hurting so inside. All you need to do is just touch them on the arm. How are you today? And that might just fill in something they need so bad.
That's
many people
so
are afraid. What if you get rejected once in a while? There's hundreds and hundreds of people that like it.
That's right.
Don't be afraid.
Good point. Yeah.
We just arrived today, so I don't know if you've touched on this or not, but men have a particular problem.
Yes.
The number of men that I feel comfortable hugging are less than a dozen.
Sure.
And anyone else, I'd have to really think twice before I hug them. Men have a special problem there.
I think you're right. Do any of you people have any suggestions for how you men can reach out more comfortably to one another? Yes?
Does a handshake indicate the same warmth as a hug would?
Depends, I suppose, on how you mean it.
I remember, in some cases, it depends. Years ago, I took a job in Montana, a summer job, and I was ushered in to meet the big chief, the great man, and he reached across the desk to shake hands, and it was like grabbing onto a dead fish. It told me that he didn't care about us. But a man with a firm grip, shows a little bit of warmth.
And you know what's interesting? Many men, who wants to come up? Do you mind a hug? Many people come up like this and shake and then give a hug. And it feels so good, right? That's neat. But being able to just reach out and just hug. I notice in church, some of our seniors have been the ones who want to hug. And they go up to some of the younger folks, some of the people with young families, And some of the men, such as yourself, I don't know how old you are, but I'm guessing you're about the same age as some of the people I'm thinking about. And they really have kind of gotten into this hug business. And to begin with, it was hard. But once they knew it was acceptable behavior and that it would be taken appropriately, then, at least in this setting, they felt free to express themselves physically. And people love it. Some of you may have seen me say goodbye to Andy, the young, tall man with the beard who was here left today. He must be 6'5", I have no idea. But I was standing on top of the ledge over there, and he was just standing down on the ground, and that kind of got us on the same level. And his wife was standing right next to us, and we had the nicest, warmest hug, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. But just to say thanks, I care about you, I've appreciated you, and, you know, I'm glad you've been here. Any other suggestions? Yes?
Another question. Is this reticence to touch an Anglo-Saxon custom?
I don't know what it is, but I think the Europeans, for instance, are much more free to reach out, to touch, to show their affection than many of us in this country.
Well, all the Latin people are real touchy. All of the Latin people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. By the way, I'm deaf, and so if you talk, I'd appreciate your letting me know so I can find you who you are as you talk. Yes?
There's a custom in France that I really appreciate, and that's their custom of kissing each other on either cheek. And the number of kisses on either cheek ranges from region to region and depth of closeness or whatever. I mean, it's been up to 5 times back and forth that way. But that's also a sign of closeness. But that's done only between family members, of course, friends, not necessarily between.
But here, you know, I can tell you that I've walked around as people have been speaking here, and I just happen to put my hand on somebody's shoulder and squeeze a little bit, and they inevitably look up at me and they smile.
Do it more.
So it feels good. But I think if we can give ourselves permission, at least here in Holden, and to talk about it, you know, at home, and to reach out. Maybe it's with the seniors, maybe it's with kids, maybe it's with people our own age. Yeah.
Sometimes the hardest is with your own family members.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially, at least for me, it's been my mother.
Yes.
She doesn't like touch.
Yes. Yes. And then we have to respect that, too. Because some people just, for some reason, can't tolerate touch. Some people are touch sensitive and genuinely can't tolerate touch. And that's a physical thing. It's not in the head. Sometimes people just aren't used to it, and we don't know what has happened in their lives that has made them uncomfortable. But even though we're rejected or somebody kind of pushes us away, just keep, as you said, just keep trying. Not necessarily with that person, because we must respect where they are. Mm-hmm. But doesn't hurt me. I've come up to you and given you a hug, I think. And you too. And just freely doing that when you feel like it. You know, I'll say, hey, how about a hug? Squeeze. Or, you know, or shaking hands or whatever. But oftentimes that handshaking can just go into a comfortable hug.
I think in reference to what Kathleen says, though, that in my children, I realize that we went through sort of an age, you know, especially with the boys, that, you know, if you kissed them goodbye or something when they went to school, well, that was just something you didn't do. And now I've been gone, and my boys are about 37 and 35, and they just won't hardly let me go or come now without a hug. But it took a long, I mean, we never discussed it. It just happened. And I think there's an age where mothers and children, and maybe fathers and children too, you know, it's just, I don't know what it is. But when you said family, it I think it is harder sometimes. Of course, my daughter, she hugs everybody.
Any others? Yes.
I was in Portugal several years ago and attended a Catholic church. And of course it was all in Portuguese, couldn't understand the language, but you could follow it. And when it came to the passing of the peace, they kissed each other on cheeks. Mm-hmm. And though you were the stranger, they still did it. And it was rather a marvelous feeling, you know, to be so accepted by somebody you didn't know.
I'm sure. People who come into our congregation, and I'll use my parents as an example, they were just horrified the first time they came to worship among us there, because during the passing of the peace, people hug instead of shaking hands. And I thought my parents would go through the floor, and their congregation, they're just simply not used to that. So we're all different, and we all need to get used to these things. But if we can realize, you know, in giving, the more we give selfishly, the more we receive back. And it really is a ministry. Any other comments? Examples? Yes.
I think one thing we should remember, like with my folks, never in my whole life did I ever see my mom, pop, you know, even hug each other,
yeah.
But they loved each other, and we knew it. Without any expression.
That's right.
They probably told each other in private, but never in front of the family. That's the way, you know, it used to be, and that's
sure.
Sort of gone into us, you know.
Oh yes, I'm sure.
And it doesn't mean that you don't love as much. It just means that you don't
sure.
tell it. You're supposed to, we're supposed to know Ma loves us because she washed our clothes, and, you know,
yeah.
and things like this.
Right.
But the feeling, I'm sure, is the same.
Oh, I'm sure. Does it bother you? Did it bother you when I came over? And
oh, no. This is a different age.
Okay.
You know, I mean, this, but, you know, it's just that we're living in a different time. Things
That's
are more
right.
open.
That's right.
You know. I never saw my mom pop's bedroom door open at night.
I think if more husbands and wives would take time to give each other more hugs and tell each other more often during the day, I love you, there wouldn't be near as many divorces.
They're too selfish.
Yes.
I missed the first part of your discussion or your talk, but how this, I understand, is more on a one-to-one basis, but how is your ministry of touch compared to the relation of the charismatic movement, or, you know, our
well,
church as compared to
the charismatic movement, and then what did you say?
Well, that's about what
No, I'm deaf and I have to watch you when you talk and you put your mouth
oh,
your
I'm
hand
sorry.
Over your mouth. Yeah.
Well, how is it in relation from our church to the charismatic movement?
Okay. To be very honest with you, that wasn't even one of my considerations when sharing today. Frankly, I never even considered that, and I don't know that I can answer your question.
Well, I don't really even know what is involved in the charismatic movement. I don't, I've never gone to one of their meetings, but I just have an idea that they're very much more expressive than we are.
I worshipped in a charismatic community for 3 years, and I think by comparison with the Lutheran church of my parents, for instance, they are more expressive. In comparison with the church of which I am a part now, I don't think there's much difference. And so I think each church, each worship community probably has its own personality, just as each of us do. So I think that's as close as I can come, I think, to answering your question. Yes.
One other point I'd like to make is in my work and in visiting in a hospital.
Yes.
Is that especially for terminally ill people, it is very important that you touch them.
Oh yes. I can't tell you how much oh, how amazed I was. You know, it's just very natural for me to reach out and to take somebody's hand, whether I'm in the hospital or what else. But in all those times in the hospital, I'm sure I held hands at least 50 times a day. And there was not one person of any age, including a male my own age, who would pull away. Not one. And somehow that seems significant. Yes?
What she said about charismatic, I have gone to some charismatic things too, and I was a German, which is very reserved, and background, which there was very, very little touching. And I needed it and wanted it, but it was very, very hard for me. But by going to a charismatic community is where I first began to be able to release that, because a lot of the Lutheran churches, especially German Lutheran churches, even now you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, we're all different, yeah, that's for sure. You had something to say.
Oh, I was just going to share that I thought if words fail you, a hug will do it.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
There are times you just can't say anything about a situation.
Isn't that the truth? There are times when I've been present at the time of a death, and I've been with family, and you look at someone and you share a hug. There's no need to say much more. There are other times of joy, the same thing. You can reach out and you can share a hug. Last night I was with someone in the community here, another woman, and I was feeling very, very excited. We had been looking at the moon over by the telescope there. And I was just really excited. And I said, do you mind if I give you a hug? She says, why no? So out in the middle of God and everyone, we had this wonderful hug. And, you know, it's just a way to communicate joy, caring, love, happiness, whatever it is. But it's in a very special way, which I consider ministry, because there are so few people, that may not be true, but there are a few people who feel comfortable with it or who would probably name it as such. Yes?
When do parents stop hugging their children? Because you don't even see that much.
I hope never.
Well, I bet by the time they're 6 or 7, they don't hug them anymore.
Well, I hope they do. My parents hug me, and I'm 44. They haven't quit yet. Some people aren't so fortunate, and I know that. I know that. And some of the seniors in our congregation say, our kids come from out of town, they stay with us, and they don't even, you know, give us a hug once we're here. That's why we come and get in your hug line, Barbara, they say. And we laugh about it, but it's a serious matter.
Maybe they weren't. It wouldn't bother me in the least if my kids don't hug me.
Sure.
I don't go hug them either.
Sure. Yeah. Families are different.
Yeah, I do them when they're my little grandchildren, but I never think of hugging my own kids anymore. Yeah. Even when they were young.
Yeah, we're all different. And I come from a family where you come in the door, and if I brought three of you with me, I would get a hug because I'd probably go in first, and you all three would get another one as you came in too, because nobody comes in the door without some kind of hug, and then they laugh about it afterwards. But you know,
must not have been Swedes.
Norwegians. 100%. Yes.
When I was talking, I said that about the Germans. She said Swedes, but the one thing that you said in the very beginning, when you said to your grandfather,
I can't see you.
Oh, I got my baby. When you said to your grandfather, I love you, when you turned the door, at that point it just happened. But I really do think that that's important for all of us parents to tell our children that, especially when we're separated. Because we never know when it's going to be the last time. And I really do think that that does, it does mean a lot. It does make a difference. I know that they know that, and we know that, but there's something about speaking that in almost every letter now that I write to my children. I always tell them that I love you.
Good point. Good point. Yes.
I was going to say that when my children were growing up, I was raised like you in a family where there was never any affection shown, but it was just very well known that it was there. Mm-hmm. And so when my children were growing up, I made a point of showing them open affection because I felt that it was important that I had missed that, and I sensed that missing it. And but when they reached their teenage years, I think you mentioned that they withdraw from you, and they don't want to be hugged or kissed in public, especially, or at home either. They just withdraw. And so I would, step back and let them. And as they reached their 20s, it took a good 10 years, then they started coming to me looking for hugs and coming back with hugs. And I think you must wait until, like you say, they are ready to give it back to you, and then you have to be receptive also.
And it's, just because we give doesn't mean we will be given in return.
That's right.
It's one of those things you give, and you give freely, not knowing what's going to come back to you. Yes.
Well, I might add to her discussion about teenagers a little bit more. I have two teenagers. They're 16 and 18, and they've been in and out of a few little scrapes in the past years, and it's amazing that they do need the loving right along the way, because it came down to the basis of a family meeting or a family discussion, and at the end, that was a power-packed hug, because that's all there is,
Yeah.
They go along thinking, I guess, that you don't care or whatever, but finally comes.
I could add to that also that they've all gone through problems, and we used to do something in our family that just came back to me this past week when I visited my two daughters. They joke about it yet, and that was that the minute they would get so unruly and hateful and disagreeable, we would put them in what we call the circle of love. And we would say, we're going to put you in the circle of love. And then all of us, everyone in the family, would surround that person and hug them all at once from every side.
That's neat.
And they were fighting to get out of it, but they loved it. They wanted it, but they would act like, oh, this is terrible.
Now that's neat.
Yeah. The circle of love.
Yes.
How do you approach a person? I like my daughter-in-law, I just can't get close to her. I give my son and my grandchildren a hug, and she's long gone out the hall, and she comes in the house and scoots by some way, and they all get a hug with her. How do you get around to try and know that she, let her know that you want to love her?
Yeah.
That's hard, isn't it? It's not always possible to do that. Unless, again, as you're getting up at the dinner table and going over to get wash your hands or something, you put your arm, just do that on your way past and just sort of pretend it's casual, except you know very well that you did it on purpose. I don't know, sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's more possible than others, but the point is just being aware of trying to reach out. It doesn't always work. We're human. Sometimes we goof, sometimes we simply fail, but that's okay.
How about having a cup of coffee together? Does that serve?
Sure. That's reaching out in whatever way you can, and you can reach out
we
and
do
say,
a lot
hey,
of that.
Yeah. It's okay. I share a home with a friend, a woman, who, when I started the seminary and didn't have enough money to stay in my own home, welcomed me into hers. And she comes from a family that doesn't hug or show much affection. And sometimes I just simply want a hug. And I'll say, can I have a hug? And she'll say, well, if I have time or something like that. So, sometimes you get it and sometimes you don't. But if you can, you know, share with somebody when you feel the need too. You know, you can. I was over there earlier in the week, and it had taken me 3 days to get here, and I was feeling kind of bounced around, kind of isolated, partially due to my deafness and partially arriving here and not knowing a soul. And the first person I met was a young man. I met him, he sat, shared the bus with me coming up the hill from the boat. And I don't know, I'll even tell you who it was. It was Brett. Any of you know Brett? He's a freshman in college, I think. And I looked at him and I said, "Brett, I need a hug." He says, "Here." And he just gave me a hug. And as it turns out, we're living in the same chalet, so we communicate rather well right now. But, I mean, it's just neat. If you need it, feel free to ask for it. If you want to share it, feel free. Say, "Hey, how about a hug?" You know? And it's good. It's neat. Yes?
My first wife and I were both huggers. And after she died, that was one requirement of anybody else that I would marry, that she would have to be a hugger. When I took Doris to meet my family in Illinois, and they all welcomed her with open arms and hugged her, and she hadn't been used to that in her first marriage. Her husband's family hadn't been that way, and after her husband died, they just kind of forgot about her. They didn't keep including her. "Oh," she said, "that was just one of the deciding factors." She said, "I know you're the kind of..."
See, it'll do. And this man is a newlywed. That's terrific. That's terrific. Anything else anybody wants to share about the ministry of touch? Yes.
It might make an interesting study. Perhaps you've done this already in the Gospels. How many of the miracles were accompanied by hugging or touching? Now, often Jesus healed by the word of command. Mm-hmm. At other times we're told that it was by
Jesus touched
touch.
Them.
I don't know if you've ever looked into that and studied it or not.
I haven't, but it would be a good thing to do.
Next time you read through the Gospels, keep track.
Yeah, that's interesting, yes.
But even the woman that was healed, in the one place, she just touched his garment.
Yeah. Touch is important. Touch is a healing act. And it's renewing. And I would bet you during the next week we're going to see lots of hugs in the village. Because I bet you that we will be a core of huggers. Par excellence. It's neat. And once it catches on, it just kind of spreads. Any other comments? Yes.
When I gave you a hug there in the kitchen at a food line this morning, I had no idea you were going to have a ministry of touch.
You see, I've been just getting all kinds of them ever since I got here now. So, did one of you ask? Yeah. Yes.
Remember a few years back, there was that song that was so pretty, at least I always loved it, "Reach Out and Touch." How did that go? Anybody
reach out and touch someone.
Someone who is near. Reach out and touch someone who is near you. Reach out. I don't know how the words, but they were the most beautiful words. Someone sang it in our church in the solo, and I went up to her after and I said, "Would you send me the words to that song?" And I've got them at home somewhere. Just a beautiful song.
Oh, that's good.
Anybody else remember? She does.
Anybody else have anything that they want to contribute? We've got about 4 minutes.
What if they had the sweaters with touch me? Would that make more crime or make less?
Well, it depends on what kind of touch it is, doesn't it?
There were two people come out with t-shirts on the other morning. They said, "What, it's huggle time?"
Yeah. Huggle
as soon
time.
As I saw it, I went out and give them a hug. You know.
Sure, sure.
Well, I thought that one gentleman, I talked to him a little bit, he had I don't think he's in the group, but he's a psychiatrist, a psychologist, I'm not sure which, but he indicated that when people have been through a divorce situation, that they withdraw, and even though they are the type of people who normally like affection, they are afraid to take affection from anyone else. And I thought that was an interesting point, too. That might be one of the times when someone would
hug is
back.
Very, very, a hug or touch, sharing love in a outgoing, expressive way is so healing. So healing and so renewing. And it makes an incredible difference. I still can see my grandfather that day so many years ago saying, Barbara, if you love someone, if you care about them, if you like something someone does, tell them, reach out to them, hug them, show them you care. You may never have another chance. And I don't know why on earth I listened. But it's, as I told you before, probably the greatest legacy that I could ever have had. And I certainly didn't know that would be the last time I'd see him. And it's a very, very powerful message.
Yeah, that makes me think of another thought, in that when he said, if you like something someone does, whatever, people who reject hugs, and this is one of the things I found too with my children during their teen years, when they rejected the open, affectionate hug, I would hug them verbally by saying, I always liked the way you do this, or I always liked this about you, and try to give them positive things, because
you bet.
That to me was a verbal hug, and
you
gave
bet.
Them the boost they needed that they wouldn't accept otherwise.
How true that is. Let's all stand up and give each other some hugs.